How many, you know, we have the conference services during the day, and I know many of you work and cannot attend. How many were not able to come to the meetings of the conference? Okay. I know you're busy. We're all busy. And I really recommend that you hear every one of those messages. And many of them, I've already heard several of them a second time, because there's too much. God delivered so much through every speaker. Every speaker. When I watch it, it's like watching this invisible hand the whole week through every different gift, bringing forth the mind of Christ for where we're going. Now, I may get to touch on this a little bit today, but I'm not sure. If I'm not looking at anybody, and I don't listen. I preach this one, so I'm going to push one. Okay. The Thursday afternoon. It's the one titled "God Never Overrides Your Will." A subheading might have been, "What is a renewed mind?" Okay. That's one of the longest services I've preached in years. It's an hour and 43 minutes. I'll warn you ahead of time. But it is so packed. Now, I'm going to advertise it a little different. If you are struggling with any kind of addiction, especially pornography, see how quiet it gets right there? I read a statistic in that meeting that recently, and if you read different studies, you find, but somewhere between 68 to 80% of Christian men are addicted to pornography. These things ought not be so. I heard a couple of responses already from people that heard that message, and I've heard it again. They said, "We hear all the time, you need to stop doing that." But we seldom hear, "How do you stop?" That message will help you. I'm telling you, it'll help you. You'll get free. And you'll stay free. So that's the end of my commercial message. I really recommend that one. Now, they were all good. But if I had to pick out my favorite, I don't care that I taught it. But it's an hour and 43 minutes. Good. You need it. And I'm telling you, your answer is there. Because it's the Word of God. It's not because I taught it. See, it doesn't matter who taught it. It's the Word of God. And the answer for your freedom is in that message if you'll do what's in it. So speaking of a renewed mind, open up to Romans 12. We'll start there. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Preach on it all the time. It was preached on a lot during the conference. In fact, at one point, one of the preachers said, we're beginning to think we only know this one chapter. Of course, it used to be Romans 8. How many of you remember Romans 8? Our Bibles would just fall open to Romans 8 because Pastor Dave just over and over again until we got it. But now he's in Romans 12. Yes, sir. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and do this. Okay. By the way, when this is happening with me, now there is a tongue for an interpretation. And if that kind of a tongue is given, I believe you absolutely have to give the interpretation. What you see happening with me a lot of times is it's incoming. I don't really know what this message is today. I'm getting it on the fly. And so you are getting, anytime you hear me, you know, I'm trying to do it soft, but I'm downloading. You are getting the interpretation by what I say. Okay? I don't know how else to explain it. This is a believer's meeting. I wouldn't do this in the Baptist church I was raised up in. I understand. Okay? But this is a believer's meeting. Okay? So, boy. Okay. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, stop. If you underline in your Bible, that word therefore is really important. You notice Romans 12 comes near the end of the letter. There's what, 16 chapters, I believe, in Romans? 16. This is 12. This is more near the end than it is at the beginning. When he says, therefore, what he's about to deliver really probably cannot be received unless you have already digested what he's delivered in chapters 1 through 11. And Paul, they call Romans, you know, it's like the pinnacle masterpiece of this mind that was trained by the Holy Ghost, the Apostle Paul. And like a lawyer, he's been going through, laying out every argument, every case, every defense anybody would have against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's this book where he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. But what is the reason for Romans 12, he's saying, based on everything I've said, and we're going to look at it a little bit, based on everything I've said up to this point, now here's your final conclusion. I beseech you. That word beseech is like Paul. If you could see him getting down on his knees in front of you, almost begging, beseeching, please. By the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. None of us are making heaven based on our merit. The gospel is all based on his love, his mercy, and his grace. Amen. And Paul has laid it out for 11 chapters, the mercies and the love of God. He said, based on everything that he's done for you, I'm begging you, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. First time I heard one of the, y'all forgive me, I can't remember names much right now, but somebody said not long ago, said, first time I heard it, I thought, what? It says you can actually walk this earth with a holy body. And all kinds of defenses come up in my mind, like, what about Galatians 5, you know? It wars against the flesh. Mm-hmm. Until you conquer it. Alan was talking about that this morning. There is a place of mortification. Well, your body, remember when Dave would teach on mortification? Let's see now, what does mortify mean? What mortify? If I spent the night in a mortuary, being prepared by a mortician, when he got done with me, my body would be mortified. And it's not going to sin anymore, is it? Well, that's exactly what it means. You can bring your body to such a place of mortification. Yes, sir. When he was trying to get this across to me several years ago, and I'll be honest with you, I was kind of patting myself on the back one day. None of you ever do that, but see, I was such a lover of money. My whole life was about making money, and I was going to be a millionaire by the time I was 30 years old. And I had all these grandiose ideas, and man, money was my motivator. Money was my God. Just no two ways. I didn't see it that way then, but I sure see it that way now. Well, over the course of getting saved and trained and mortified to a certain point, the money just doesn't have much control over me and hasn't had for a lot of years. So I was kind of patting myself a little bit one day. I said, boy, I don't want to say I'm like the Pharisee, you know, but I'm not like these other men. I don't run after money like these other men. Does that remind you of anybody? Remember the Pharisee? I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all. So I was kind of, you know, you've done good, Gary. You're not the money grubber you used to be. I was patting myself a little bit on the back. Man, you've come quite a ways. And all of a sudden, I had this little teaching vision. You know, the language of the Holy Spirit is dreams and visions. And he can talk your language, too. Suddenly, I had this image of a campfire, just a normal campfire like we used to have when there were still a Boy Scouts. I was in Boy Scouts when it was Boy Scouts. We, you know, just a normal sized campfire like you'd have, you know. And in the dream, I Somebody, it didn't matter who, somebody came with a, looked like a gallon bucket of gasoline. You know? Well, you know what happened? They're standing back and they poured on that campfire. Whoosh! As that gasoline ignited, you know? And then immediately I saw a repeat of the same thing, only this time instead of a campfire, it was a single candle. Just a little candle, like a birthday candle. And a little flame. But there was a flame. Here comes the same gallon of gasoline. Poured on the candle. And it was the same whoosh as it was before. And he says, I didn't say reduce your flesh. I said mortify. It's not good enough. Alan was on this subject some this morning. It's not good. Discipline is important. We have to use discipline. But you use discipline to eventually mortify. The love of money has to be gone. Can't be a candle in me. Pornography has to be gone. Said a different way, lust. Animal lust. I liked how Alan said it again. We're a spirit creature wearing an animal body that we got from Adam. God help us. He did. But the animal part has to be mortified. See? Yes, sir. This renewed mind that he's talking about here. I didn't read that part. Let's read the next part. I'm going to read verse 1 again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. I got to stop again because he's quoting. Hold that. And go to Galatians 5. And starting in verse 16. Still hear pages turning. Glory to God. Actual pages. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And that should be a little S. He's not talking about the Holy Ghost here. He's talking about walk by that new nature. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we've got two things. We've got a nature to walk by, but we're still wearing this animal outfit. The one from Adam, the one from the world. Now, how many of you thankful one day we're going to get a new body? Boy, I'm looking forward to that rascal, I'm telling you for sure. But right now, we've got to deal with this one. So it says, walk. If you walk in the new nature, little s, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So where is lust? It's flesh, but it's more than your skin. Because if you read down through here, he starts talking about the works of the flesh. Some of them are pretty fleshy, you know, fornication, adultery. But what about envy? You don't envy with your little toe or your elbow. I mean, that's part of the soul, isn't it? So it's every unrenewed part of the mind is included there. Let's get Alan's message this morning. This is part two. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. That should be a little S. I'm going to read it this way. For the flesh lusts against your new nature. And your new nature against the flesh. There is a war going on while we are wearing these animal bodies. Y'all okay with animal body? You know what I mean by that? You know? It's meat. Meat sack, I think Nathan said. These are contrary the one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the new nature, you're not under the law. Why? Because you got the law on the inside. It's, when you got a new nature, you got the law written in your mind and in your heart. If you walk according to that, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he lists a whole bunch of them, and it's not exhaustive. He said, and such like. Let's just read them. Just might be a while since you read them. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft is a little deceptive. It can be witchcraft, but the real word there is pharmakia. It's where we get our word pharmacy. He's talking about drug abuse. Okay? There's an opioid epidemic going on in this country. And that is pharmakia. Okay? It's an idol. It's something you're bowing down to. If you're addicted to it, it's an idol. Sorry. No, I'm not. So witchcraft, hatred. You don't hate with your elbow. See, there's things in the soul that have to be mortified. You understand? Okay. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. There's envying. Murders. drunkenness. Revelings. And such like. Now, I guess the radical grace people, they have to remove the next part of this out of their Bible. Revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things, and it means habitually, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Yet they say Paul preaches a different gospel than the Lord Jesus. No, there's only one gospel. Paul's preaching the same one. The fruit of the Spirit is, what if I said the real fruit? You know, we've been teaching a lot about you are the planting of the Lord. You are a tree of righteousness. Well, the fruit that's manifesting on your limbs comes from the new nature, comes from the life of Christ in you. Well, what is that fruit like? Well, it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. What's the modern definition of temperance? Self-control. Against such there is no law. Meaning, you can have all the love you want. You can have all the peace you want. But there is a law inside of you against fornication. There's no law against peace. But there is against adultery. There's no law that comes with the nature against temperance. But there is against lasciviousness. And it's written in your heart. Or you're not born again. Now, where the Lord's trying to lead us, or get us to, now, okay, let's get it all. Verse 24. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. Does that sound like fun? How did Peter word it? He that has suffered in the flesh is free from sin. There's a suffering involved. Doesn't God want me to be happy? Yeah. But not necessarily while you're being mortified. He was pleased. He was so happy when I finally decided to... How did Alan say that this morning? Listen. God's happy when you make the decision. You're finally going to war against the flesh. That's what this is actually saying. Go to war with it. And the flesh is... It might make you miserable. Did me when I quit smoking. Did me when he put me on that meat fast that time. How mean of God. Put Gary Carpenter, no meat for 40 days. Thought I was going to die. I thought you loved me. See, this is what, every time you decide to have a fast, first thing, I don't know about you, my flesh, after about hour four, I thought he loved us. Why does he want me to suffer like this? I thought he loved us. I'm not happy. Doesn't God want me happy? You know those negotiations. Yeah, he wants you happy right after you're mortified. Right after you put that thing. He wants you miserable if that's what it takes in the middle of the war. Boy, Bronk delivered a message. Now, I'm telling you, every message was awesome. Bronk delivered one that the church really needs to hear. And I'm going to condense it. You have to listen to his message. It's Old Testament. But they went out to war, and God told them to go to war. And they didn't commit any sin. It's not like Ai's thing. Y'all remember when, what was that guy's name? Achan? Achan. And he violated what the Lord said, and he stole some of the gold and of a garment, and he buried it or something. And there's sin in the camp, so that's why they got defeated. There's nothing like that in this one. They're going out. They got God's instruction, go to war. And the first time they did it, not only did they get whipped, the way it's worded, I think it's in their own purpose for us. It says they got beat down to the ground. Well, that's not what I got to tell you, though. Day one that I quit smoking, Gary felt like he got beat down to the ground. It was hard. They go back in Bronx lesson, and in the verses, they go back and they inquire of the Lord. Well, like, and the Lord never says anything. Well, you got beat because you sinned. You got beat because of this. You got beat. There was nothing. Well, shall we go out again? Yes, go out again. So what do you expect for sure the second time? You're going to win, right? And they got beat down to the ground again. And they come back and they're asking the Lord, did we do something wrong? Is there sin in the camp? And there's nothing. There's no rebuke at all. And shall we give up or shall we go again? He says, go again. And that time they won. And they permanently won. And that land was theirs. What's the lesson? Don't quit. Don't quit. It's a war. When I started that war against... Now, telling you when I finally... See, yes, sir. I'm going to have to treat you like you already heard that message. Okay? Because otherwise I got to teach the message again. So let me do it like this. Here's the summary. Here's the difference between a mind that has knowledge and a mind that is renewed. See, the transformation doesn't come from having knowledge. It doesn't say that. Are we supposed to have knowledge? We are to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I could get a whole bunch of verses. Grow in the knowledge of God. Grow in the knowledge of His grace. Grow in the knowledge. Knowledge is good, but knowledge alone is not a renewed mind. A renewed mind, and he had me use the example from Ecclesiastes where Solomon saw a horrible thing. He says, I've seen a horrible thing. Somebody should tell the king. Well, what have you seen? It's so horrible. He said, I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants on the earth. And you think, that's terrible. What? It's like that other one that says, where the tree falls in the woods, there it is. Now, believe it or not, there is a great message from that. It took me years to get it, but there is a great message from that. But this one, what Solomon saw, it's really the whole human race. See, there's three parts there. There's the prince, the servant, and the horse. The horse represents the direction of your life. It's where you're going. It all depends on who has the reins. See, your spirit man is the one in contact with God. Your spirit is the person that's supposed to be in the saddle and has the reins. You're supposed to hear from God and direct your life according to what God says. The servant is supposed to, that's your mind, that's your emotions. It's supposed to be running alongside the master. And if the master needs anything, then the servant goes and handles that. See, and your mind is the go-between between heaven and earth. Your spirit hears from God, your body is of the earth, and your mind has this amazing capacity to be the go-between between the two. But it's supposed to be the servant, never the master. But what's happened ever since the fall of man, the mind, the emotions have climbed up into the saddle, have a hold of the reins. And like Alan says, oh, it's religious. That mind is religious. It'll come sing songs, it'll give money, it'll worship God. As long as it never has to let go of the reins, as long as it never has to relinquish control of your life. And that's the definition of religion. Oh yeah, I love Jesus, I'll serve Jesus, but I'll never let you, but it's still my life, and I make the decisions. That's not a renewed mind. A renewed mind has knowledge, all right, but it has to take knowledge the next step. See, James said, be you doers of the word and not hearers only. A hearer only can be full of knowledge. Full of knowledge. Dave gave the illustration of the Tootsie Roll Pop. He said, most Christians, y'all remember the Tootsie Roll Pop? Hard candy, ball, little skinny stick. And like Dave says, he said, that ball represents the mind of believers. And it's fat with knowledge. Oh, and by the way, it still has a gooey center. That's Dave. But their spirit is like that little stick. It's not developed. They don't pray. They don't feed on the word. They don't do the things that develop the spirit. So they're always, I want to be used of God. And they're all top heavy all the time. And it's all knowledge. But it's not a renewed mind. See, a renewed mind goes from hearing the word, having knowledge of the word, to acting on the word. I had knowledge for years. Now, Nathan's been really hammering on this, and it's helped me focus even clearer. From the day you were born again, you were set free from sin. Now, that is the absolute truth. It will never change. Gary, that was as true for Gary as it is anybody else. Now, I'm just going to use Gary and not you, and aren't you glad about that? Yet Gary continued to smoke forever in 3 days because Gary had knowledge, but I had empirical knowledge. That means I had knowledge from my emotions. I had knowledge from my senses that every time I tried to quit, my senses said, you're not free. Withdrawals came. Other things came. Like what? A short temper. You know, there's a sedative in that stuff, you know. All I'm saying is, you got a renewed mind has to have more than knowledge. Yes, sir. I'll say it this way. All those years that I continued to smoke while I had the knowledge I was free, the servant was in the saddle of the horse. The mind was making the decision. Sure wasn't my spirit, man. My spirit knew I was free. But my mind chose to believe other evidence besides the direct word of God. Finally, one day, finally, I made the decision. My soul stepped down and put its foot in the stirrup and got down off the horse. I said, get up there, spirit man, where you need to be. My mind became renewed to the truth. You have been made free from sin. And he that has suffered in the flesh is free. This day we're going to war. And boy, the war began. See, that's not the day the mortification ends. Very often that's the day mortification begins. The war's on, buddy. Now it's Galatians 5. Flesh wants what it wants. Spirit wants what it wants. And if you start and fail, if you get beat down to the ground, what do? Get back up again. Repent and go, I'm going to war again. If you get beat down to the ground again, what do? I'm getting up again. Now, there's a lot more in that message than that, but that brings us to where we are today. Did I ever read that second part? Back to Romans 12. I never did read the second verse. Believe it or not, now he's going somewhere today. He really is. I don't know where it is, but he's going somewhere. No, I'm getting a glimpse. I think I know where he's going now. The supernatural mind. That's what he's talking about here in Romans 12, 1 and 2. He's wanting to take you from a natural, I'm going to say animal thinking person, to a child of God, all things are possible person. A renewed supernatural mind that thinks just like he thinks. See, be not conformed to this world. You know, you can have a lot of wisdom of the world. There's a lot of wisdom out there that has to do with worldly things. But we are in this world, but we are not of it. Colossians tells us, chapter 3, set your affection on things above. We're supposed to think like he thinks, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. And that's that Greek word, and I never say it right, forgive me. It's metamorpho, where we get our word metamorphosis. It's where the caterpillar literally becomes the butterfly. Now, for the most part, the church at large is filled with educated caterpillars. Caterpillars with lots of knowledge. But they've never really yielded their mind, yielded their will over to the Lord Jesus Christ to go through the renewal process. But that is changing. We're coming out the other side no longer bound to the ground. Honey, butterflies can fly. You hear me? Butterflies, no longer just educated caterpillars. He wants to take us through a transformation process where you were not. Why walk as the world when we're not of the world? I'm going to go ahead and say this part. Right now, he is, and it's a shame that in the year 2018, he's still having to deal with us concerning what I would say low things like sin. You're not an old sinner saved by grace. You're the righteousness of God. It's a shame that 2,000 years into this, we're still having to learn that. It's a shame. It's an indictment, really, on the body of Christ. It's a shame that we're having to go through the renewal process that healings are still, miracles are still for today. You know, dear God, it's a shame 2,000 years into this, we're still having to preach against fornication and smoking and the low level little things that, because what God has in mind, go to Matthew 15. I'll show you what God's got in mind. This is the only verse I knew for sure I was going to preach today. Matthew 15. Starting in verse 29, Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. Oh, use your imagination now. Try and see this. See him. He's there. He's sitting down. Maybe on the grass. Maybe he sat on a rock that's on the edge of the mountain there. And great multitudes came unto him. Don't be thinking 50 people. Don't be thinking 100. When he fed the multitude, it said there was 5,000 men plus the women and children. Well, what would that be? 10,000, 15,000, maybe 20,000? Picture 20,000 coming. Multitudes came unto him. Multitudes, plural, came unto him. Having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, meaning they couldn't speak. How about maimed? And many others. And cast them down at Jesus' feet. I love these next four words. The simplicity. And he healed them. Insomuch that the multitudes wondered when they saw. Now I thank God for every healing, no matter how it comes. I've had them come instantaneously, and most of them have come gradually with me. But you got to understand what this is. It says when they saw. Now that means it happened during the meeting. It happened while everybody was watching. This is the mind of Christ for us. This has to become normal thinking. Our minds, we are not caterpillars upon this earth. We are butterflies from heaven. We have got to think like he thinks. What do you think he was thinking when he saw them bringing all of these? What was in his mind? They're not going home like that. They're not going. I've been anointed. We could go to Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And here he starts going into it. Preach the gospel to the poor. Open the eyes of the blind. Set every captive free. That's what he's thinking. My friend Todd is here today. He's missing a part of his leg. Forgive me. I should have got permission first. Courageous man in my mind. Young man. I'm not going to do it today because I'm growing like you're growing. But I want to give a little attaboy to you. I heard as they, Jody's his friend, helped bring him in today. Look at how little she is. She was pushing that wheelchair. Pushed him in. And you know the comment I heard? We're going to see the maimed made whole today. Do you know how rare that is? Do you know how far you've come? Do you know how seldom that thought would be thought in the churches I grew up in? Never, not once would that be thought. But that's what I heard. That's what Jesus was thinking when he was watching all of those crippled and lamed and broken people coming. They're not going home like that. They're not going home like that. I thank God at least we've come that far. Todd, the day will come, we'll watch while that leg grows out if you want it to. We'll watch. We're on that journey now. You want it back? He wants it back. Okay, I'm going to... I forgot to ask a guy one time. He didn't want his. But anyway, that was another deal. I'll tell you about that later. Look at this. Let's look at it again. You want to have the mind? You want to be renewed to a mind, do you? What was he thinking sitting there? Sitting there. And he's watching them bring. We got one here today. Was there 50 maimed? How many blind? How many cripples? Let's read it again. It's good for us, don't you think? Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them. Now Jesus is watching them come. He's sitting there watching them bring them in. The lame, the blind, those that could not speak, maimed, missing a part, and many others. You could write in there birth defects, palsy, every kind of thing you can think of. And they cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them. Don't you know that was in his mind as he's watching them come? It should be in our mind first thing. And thank God that's what I heard. We're going to see the maimed made whole today. In so much. You want to talk about revival? Insomuch that the multitude wondered. I bet they did. They will today too. When they saw the dumb to speak. Get this. The maimed to be whole. And they saw it. That means it happened during the service. Todd, I'm encouraged. During the service, you think word of that got out? Why do you think great multitudes were coming? Word had got out from previous evenings. I'm going to do a message soon saying, develop a reputation in hell. You understand what I'm saying by that? Your name needs to be known in your name. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Johnny, I know. Helena, I know. B, I know. Sue, I really know. Don't mess with Sue. Anyway. I'm serious though. That's funny, but not funny. And it's a renewed mind. I'm telling you, it's just simply a matter of renewing the mind. Now, who is qualified besides the Holy Ghost to renew your mind? There's only one teacher that was sent that has this ability to renew the mind. I will finish this verse. The maimed. His compassion is just overtaking me today. I have a hard time. He's more eager for this than we are eager to see it. This is the heart of God. This is the heart of Christ. It breaks his heart. Well, if that can happen. What I mean is, you touch his compassion, I'm telling you, it'll wreck you in a good way. The lame to walk and the blind to see, my friend Homer. Homer will see again. Soon and very soon, Homer will see again. And notice what happens. And they glorified the God of Israel. They'll do it again too. Richard Edgar gave another, he was another speaker, gave that one about taking Goliath's head off. Man, that's the mind of Christ for us. Every time any kind of Goliath rears its ugly head. This little teenage boy, here's the whole army of Israel cowering, hiding. Little teenage boy who knows his God. He says basically, I'm not only going to take your head off and give your body to the fowls of the air. I'm going to give the bodies of all these Philistines to the fowls of the air. I'm taking you down and your whole army. He knew who his God was. The same God that delivered me from the bear. The God that delivered me from the lion. Shall deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine also. And all this will happen that they may know there is a God in Israel. Renewed mind. So, prayer center around the world, get on with it. He's asking us to get past the sin, the habits, the little things. And I know they're giants to you. They're giants to me when I face my giants. See, your giants are little. My giants are big. You know what I mean by that. He's saying, can't we get past this sin and these habits and these little things? Can't we get on past this where the Holy Spirit can renew our mind to who we really are and the anointing that we really have? So that we can be about our Father's business. We even brought that one up to say. It's amazing. We need to be about our Father's business. Well, that's Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. And he says, the works that I do, shall you do also. Back to Romans 12 now. Now again, I really recommend that message to you from the conference. God never overrides your will. Where did I say? Romans 12. I beseech you therefore. Oh. Therefore. Romans 1 starts off like this, and if I look at any verses, we'll be here 2 more hours. Romans 1. You know what the big danger is? See, I don't know if you've caught this yet in your assimilation. There is a vast difference between the people in Romans 1 and the guy in Romans 7. See, it plainly says in Romans 1 they had the knowledge of God. It's not that they didn't know God. It says they did know God. They had the knowledge. But the people in Romans 1, they did not want to retain the knowledge of God in their will. They wanted sin. They didn't care what God said. Okay, I know God said that lifestyle is sin. I want it anyway. And they chose it. And I know God was wooing them and loving them and trying to bring them back from the brink of destruction. But see, He will never override your free will. And the people in Romans 1, they had the knowledge of God, but they wanted sin. They wanted the lifestyle no matter what God said. And eventually, some of the most scariest words in all of the Bible are. So eventually, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, what's a reprobate mind? Pastor Dave said it like this. It's not that God wouldn't take them back. And I know God pursued them forever. You can read in Revelations, even when he talks about that Jezebel in Revelations, he said, even with her, he gave her space to repent. But her and her children, but they would not. You know he gave them space. But it's like, eventually, if that's what you want, If that's really what you want, if sin, if you want that instead of me, if that's really what you want, you can have it. And what happens if you, when God turns you over to a reprobate mind, like Dave said, it's not that God wouldn't take you back, but there's nothing in you at that point that wants to come back. That's scary. Okay? But contrast those people with the Romans 7 guy. Now the Romans 7 guy, he had the knowledge of God too. He knew what the law was. But he wanted to do it. He's like Jesus talked about in the Beatitudes where he starts off, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Chapter 1, people weren't hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They were hungering and thirsting to satisfy their flesh. The guy in Romans 7, I want to do good. I want to keep your law. But the things that I don't want to do, I wind up doing those. And the things that I want to do, I never wind up doing. I find another law working in me. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see the contrast? The guy in Romans 1, they wanted sin. The guy in Romans 7 wants God. He wants to please God. But he's not born again. Has no nature. Thank God for Romans chapter 8. Now there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now we're free. You're never going to be more free. You're free right now. What he's asking all of us, go from that knowledge to renewing the mind, which means I'm free. I'm never going to touch it again. In whatever form that is. Pornography, smoking, drinking, chewing, going with girls that are doing. Oh, the smoking and drinking and chewing. You understand? Start the war. Engage. Engage the war. Whatever it is in your own life, let's get done with this stuff so we can move on to the supernatural people we really are. Christ in us. It's not based on our holiness. It's not that. But go back. We're in Romans 12. Now look. It's not based on your holiness. You remember right at the end of Jesus, right after the Last Supper, he says, Satan comes, but he finds nothing in me. Even to the very end, the devil was, how Dave said it, sniffing around for handles, looking to see if there was anything in Jesus that he could get hold of to divert him from his mission. Well, if he did that with Jesus, don't you know he's coming after us? That's the purpose of mortification. He's not doing it like you've earned something. But mortification eliminates the handles. And you become a vessel that God can use. And that's the way it's worded here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Get free of the handles. Because this revival, I'm telling you now, when it starts, it's going to be quick. It's going to harvest the world. And all hell is going to be unleashed against everybody in it. He's going to come around sniffing for handles. It'd be best to be free of them. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. He's renewing us now to a supernatural mind. I thank God again. The only comment I heard when Todd was brought in was, we're going to see the maimed made whole today. That is a vast renewing that's already taken place. Now, the next one is, we're going to see the maimed made whole every day. Not just in services either. At Walmart, where you work, at the park. Amen? Amen? We are a supernatural people with a supernatural God. We need a supernatural mind to think like he thinks and allow that supernatural Holy Spirit to accomplish the same works. Hallelujah. I think I'm done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.